we want to make sure that no one ever has to say "me too" again, which means hopefully we have worked ourselves out of a job. If the world is a place where women can go to work and earn a living for themselves and for their family without being afraid, without being harassed, then we will be successful.
I'm Michelle King, and you're listening to She Innovates. It's a show where we share the stories, challenges, and triumphs of women and men across innovation, technology, and entrepreneurship. This month, Time's Up appointed Lisa Borders to serve as the organization's first ever president and CEO. Lisa is charged with leading the group's efforts to ensure protection and equal opportunity for working women across all industries. On the show, Lisa's going to be sharing with us her plans for the organization and what taking on this new role means to her. She's also going to be discussing the importance of engaging men in the fight for gender equality. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Michelle.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm doing great.
So just to start, I just wanted to say congratulations on your new role.
Well, thank you for the warm congratulations. I really appreciate that.
So look, you know, I thought we could actually get started by getting you to share why you decided to take on the role.
Well, this is an honor and a privilege for me to have the opportunity to support, elevate, empower, enable women, not just in sports, as I had the privilege of doing in my former role, but to elevate women everywhere, at every socioeconomic station in life, in every sector, every industry, in countries and continents beyond the U.S., an opportunity to help women, which helps their families, their biological families, as well as their extended families in their immediate communities and beyond.
I mean, clearly based on what you just said, there's a flow-on impact, which is incredible. I just wondered, though, in terms of your role, I mean, how do you plan on galvanizing people to take action?
Well, I think the world at large is actually galvanizing people. I wish I perhaps needed to do that, but interestingly enough, I do not. Whether you are looking at the hearings that just occurred this past week with the Supreme Court, or whether you are looking at daily events in the news in local communities or at the national level, it is evident that women are not necessarily being listened to or being recognized as real assets in the community with minds of their own, the ability to process information and act on it accordingly. So I think women and enlightened men are being galvanized every day just by watching what's happening around them. Galvanizing them, I think, is the real order of the day, which means articulating a vision for Time's Up as a platform where we can all work collectively to make the world a better place. So whether it's changing laws at the local or the state or the federal level, that's one clear area where we think we can make an impact together, or in companies where there are large groups of employees, men and women, who are interested in making sure that there is fairness and dignity and a good place to work, or whether it's in societal culture at large, where we see so many things happen around us in every sector that perhaps is not favorable to not just women, but those of us who believe there should be safe, fair, and dignified places to work and to live.
I mean, that's a really good point. There's a lot of activity happening out there. I guess what I'm interested in, though, is, you know, what are the specific areas you want to focus on?
So in the space where a lot of this discussion started around sexual harassment and misconduct, we want to make sure that no one ever has to say "me too" again, which means hopefully we have worked ourselves out of a job. If the world is a place where women can go to work and earn a living for themselves and for their family without being afraid, without being harassed, then we will be successful. The same thing is true for laws. We know that you can pass a law that says you should not discriminate, you should not harass, you should not do fill in the blank. But what we have learned, if we just looked back as recently as the civil rights legislation, is that passing a law is one thing, really opening the hearts and minds of folks who were perhaps not for that law initially is a whole nother kettle of fish, as they say. So I would really have us think about how do we communicate the feeling that women have when they are harassed, or the feeling that someone has when they are discriminated against or not given a full opportunity to reach their potential. Really, we want folks to understand that and not just have a mandate that comes from a law. I'm not saying laws aren't important. They absolutely are. But they are the tip of the spear. The rest of the conversation needs to be had, and it needs to be on a continuous basis. Again, I go back to the civil rights legislation that was passed in the 1960s. We did a terrific job there as a country by recognizing that we need to have African Americans able to vote just as well as Euro-Americans. Everybody needed to be able to exercise the same rights. Well, here we are 50, 60 years later, and folks are starting to try and dismantle those rights, and there's not a clear recognition of what perhaps all of the challenges were that had to be overcome. And I would submit to you, it has more to do with the mindset and the heart share that we have around civil rights today.
You know, that's such an interesting point, because I think often we start movements and we don't think, well, what can we learn from the previous movement? So I think it's a great point that you make. You know, when I look at the work of Time's Up, one of the focus areas is workplaces, right, and private sector organizations. And I just wondered, you know, what's your plan for broadening the conversation in organizations, from creating, you know, safe work environments to actually creating enabling environments where women thrive?
So the first thing you have to do always, I think, is acknowledge the problem, which our sisters and brothers at MeToo have done an extraordinary job of elevating, for example, the issue of workplace harassment, be it sexual misconduct or any other type of harassment. So you've got to make people aware of the problem, and you've got to acknowledge it. So that's step one. The second step is to address the problem. And platforms and organizations, movements like Time's Up, will be able to go to corporate America, but also mid-sized America, as well as entrepreneurs, and hopefully share strategies with them for ensuring that these situations do not occur on a regular basis. So making someone aware first, and then addressing the situations with real solid programming, be it diversity and inclusion to start, be it increasing the number of women on the boards of public companies in particular, because that's where the governance of the company really is derived from, or whether it's helping legislators pass laws that guarantee that folks are not harassed, or if they are harassed, that there are resolutions or remedies in the courts that can be sought. I would take a page right out of the civil rights movement if you go back and look to the issues that were at hand at that point. And the strategy that was used was a legal one. That's how Thurgood Marshall argued cases and ultimately became a Supreme Court justice, was arguing cases of equality for African Americans and for their civil rights. So the methodology is in place. There are proof points that we can look to, whether it's the civil rights movement here in the U.S. or the Arab Spring that is probably in more recent history. There are lots of lessons that can be learned from movements that have come before us.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a really interesting point. I just wondered, though, can you share maybe a few examples of how Time's Up plans to engage private sector organizations?
Yeah, I think we would most probably partner with organizations, and that probably will take different formats depending on whether it's a fellow nonprofit, sister nonprofit, or whether it is a company, public or private, because there'll be certain cultures that we would want to go into and not necessarily parallel that culture, but at least be sensitive to what has gone on in a civic organization or in a public company, for example. So I would say partnership. It might be that we act as a consultant in some capacities and as a more embedded partner in another, but suffice it to say, we want to bring a new point of view and perspective about how women should be treated or how any disenfranchised class. We are talking about women today, but again, we can learn from the movements that have come before us about standing shoulder to shoulder and helping these folks move from an unenlightened place to an enlightened place.
You know, I mean, given this, right, your focus on workplaces and private sector organizations, what's your message to leaders? So how can they get involved in Time's Up or support the Me Too movement?
So the first message that I would share with corporations is there are empirically based studies that indicate when you have a diverse workforce and a diverse leadership team, your company performs better. So whether you are a private company or a public company, you have a fiduciary responsibility to those who own the company, whether it's a family-owned business or whether it's shareholders in the public sphere. So I would invite the CEOs or the leadership teams of these organizations we call business to really appeal to the notion of their fiduciary responsibility, that this is not just a moral imperative, but it is also an economic imperative. The two go hand in hand. When you're talking about civic organizations, it's typically more obvious at the grassroots level because typically those folks who are philosophically aligned self-identify and begin to work in civic organizations. So I think the greatest opportunity might be at corporations where there has been one standard, one group of people who perhaps have had the privilege of leading for all time or since time and memoriam, and there is now a new day where they deserve to have the benefit of the intellectual capital that women in particular bring to bear.
Yeah, and I mean, given, you know, male dominance in corporate leadership, part of this whole process should be focused on engaging men. You know, given that, I just wondered if you had any sort of comments on what each of us can do to include men in this process.
Sure. The first idea that I have is to invite men to the table. This is not an exclusive club where women are only invited to participate and help move the needle on gender equality. So we will invite men, number one. Number two, we will have men as our allies. As we have already seen at the Golden Globes back in January of this year, it wasn't just women wearing black and the Time's Up pin. There were also enlightened men who stood alongside those women on the red carpet and demonstrated their support for women. So we need males as our allies, men who will reach other men, because obviously peer-to-peer interaction is very strong. You can see that as early as junior high school and high school, and that doesn't change over time. Peer-to-peer interaction is really, really powerful. So inviting men, number one, having them as our allies, number two, and then supporting them and lifting them along with the women who we are trying to empower, enable, and enlighten.
You know, I think that's a really important point that, you know, both men and women play a critical role in engaging men in the fight for gender equality. And, you know, we do also have a lot of young women who listen to the podcast. So I just wondered, you know, what's your message to them? How can they get involved in this work?
So my message to young women would be fully engage. You need to fully engage in life. And so this is a message that I would share with women as opposed to giving to women. I want to share. There oftentimes are generations that work in silos, and I invite young women to work in tandem with middle-aged women as well as senior women. All of us have value to our voice, and all of us have had different experiences. And what women often have not done is share their experiences. We talk about the good stuff. We have sort of buried the bad stuff. Me Too is not great conversation, but it is essential conversation. It's not all positive, but there's a lot to be learned. And so we would invite young women to join this multi-generational conversation and this collective action, because what we're trying to do is create a better environment so that they never have to say, me too, and perhaps a time's up will not be necessary in generations to come.
I love it. It's such a great goal to have, you know, to do yourself out of a job. You know, so just going back then to this new role that you're taking on, could you share with the listeners, you know, what it means to you personally?
Time's Up is a 21st century civil rights movement. When I think back to what I have lived through as a woman and a person of color, it is abundantly clear to me that what happened in the 20th century for African Americans now has the platform and the space and the necessity to do the same thing for women. It's unfortunate that we find ourselves here, but it is fortunate in the sense that it is an issue that tends to bring people together. And anything that will help us unite in this divisive time is a good thing. So perhaps this is a perverse blessing, and I welcome it as the civil rights movement of the 21st century. This is no longer a concept or a social construct. This is a commitment to change. And folks have got to get comfortable, what we will call the new normal, and that is a place where women are respected and valued in every endeavor.
So, you know, you've had such an amazing career. I just wondered, you know, if there's one particular lesson you've learned along the way that you think will really help you in your new role with Time's Up.
So I have had the benefit and the blessing of incredible successes in my life. But honestly, I have learned more when I have not succeeded. And my mother often said to me, failure's not fatal, it's feedback. So whenever I have not been able to achieve exactly what I went after, she would tell me, try again and use a different approach, a different perspective, a different point of view. And so particularly as we look at the Supreme Court and what happened with the new justice that was confirmed, and again, I hearken back to the civil rights movement, there were many times where there were disappointments. People were dehumanized. People felt disappointed. But at the end of the day, they got up, they dusted themselves off individually and collectively, and they persevered. And in the final analysis, they were victorious. And so I need to look only there to find inspiration for what we are trying to do and a recognition that we are in it for the long game and we intend to be victorious.
It was such an honor to chat with Lisa today. I think she made so many good points about learning from past movements and working to include everyone in this fight. I also really loved her idea of a new normal, you know, getting people comfortable with the idea of gender equality as the standard for how things are. I think all of us can play a role in getting to this point, and this starts with creating work environments where women are both respected and valued. Today on Fairy Godboss Insights, we are going to be talking about the effect of the Me Too movement on media. A new report from the Women's Media Centre details findings from a 15-month study which reveal how the Me Too movement changed the way the media covers stories about sexual assault and harassment. The report finds that overall, the number of articles on sexual assault increased by about 30% over the period. Despite this increase, the researchers found that men wrote the majority of bylines covering sexual assault. Moreover, despite the fact that women of colour experience high rates of sexual violence, their stories were often missing from media coverage. So clearly we can all do a better job of including stories from all women in the gender equality movement. If you're interested to learn more, please check out fairygodboss.com. Thanks, everyone. I really hope you enjoyed today's podcast episode, and I look forward to catching you all again next week.
She Innovates is produced by Human Group Media, a company that inspires people to do good through the power of audio storytelling. This podcast is made possible by SAP NextGen, an innovation platform that enables everyone, from individuals, companies, partners, and universities, to connect and innovate with purpose. In doing so, SAP NextGen supports the achievement of the Sustainable Development Goals.